very good Tuesday race fan, Sirius 219, XM 201, and Sirius Hotline, Sirius Sports Zone 964, if you're listening that way, and at the website, stevebick.com. I'm chatting away. Jason Blewett was back, and it was great to see Jason yesterday. And he was just saying he heard from a bunch of friends that heard him. And I was chatting to the point where I didn't realize it was 9 o'clock. So good morning. And Case, I'm a little behind on the computer, the whatever, the Wi-Fi. So it may take, seems like a couple of extra seconds to get to and from. It took a few extra seconds to get from Pompano here today. And knock on wood, I got to say, I told you the whole, I sort of misread, not misread, but I sort of misestimated. I didn't really think about it from the last time I had any kind of extended stay down here when we stayed in Pompano. And of course, at the time, this Casey would go to the studio a lot of days as well as coming to the track. And I'd sort of forgotten was going to be here the whole time. So it's 17 miles. 17 miles in South Florida, it's basically like the covered wagon era. It might take you to go 17 miles. It might take, a good day and a half. It's very fun. Knock on wood, though, I did not, until today, and that was partially my fault. And I'm sure I'm going to say something. I'm going to see if Casey has had this experience. Coming down 95 from Pompano to Hallandale Beach Boulevard. And not necessarily paying close attention. Suddenly I find myself in those express lanes. And it said express lanes closed. So I wasn't really thinking about it. Next thing I know, here's those plastic, and it's funny because for a few days last week or 2 weeks ago, I kept seeing this sign, driving over plastic cones, $165 fine. I'm like, what are they talking about? What plastic cones? And then I figured it out. It's these dividers, these plastic sticks that segregate the left lane, the express lane. Okay, why would anybody drive over them? Well, if you get stuck in that lane, suddenly there's a motivation to drive over those plastic sticks. especially if you're in a dually or some gigantic thing that's just going to saw them off. So I all of a sudden I realized we're getting, I'm getting to Hollywood Boulevard and Pembroke and all the exits that you can cut over to Federal to get to the track. I'm in this stupid express lane. And then the worst possible solution, you have to get off at Ives Dairy Road. You might as well pack a lunch, as they say. As it happens, I only ended up, seven minutes, I think, later than I would have been if I had not gotten stuck. And Casey says, gets stuck in the express lanes all the time. So, there's a cautionary tale. The express lane hell. Now, the good news was, we were going 80 for a good stretch. That was the good news. I'm going to head to Tampa, of course, after the show today. And there's a couple of things that happened on this trip that that you're going to be shocked. I didn't get to Jackson's. I know. Don't drive off the road. I did not get to. I also, Casey, I didn't get to see you. I'll see you at the, in March. We'll carve out a when I come back for Florida Derby. But I did not get to Jackson's. Not one. In fact, not only did I not get to Jackson's, I did have a couple of smoothies. Does that count toward my ice cream mania? My sick. No Jackson's. I did get donuts for everybody from Bake Shack. That I did. I mean, it was 2 feet away, but it was first thing in the morning. So last week I wanted to bring Dave Joseph and his staff some Bake Shack, which was fabulous in Dania. I didn't get to Jackson's. What else? There was something else I didn't do. Never went on the Florida Turnpike. So, but no Jackson's. Shocker. I know. Wait till I tell Tina. She'll be completely stunned that I didn't get over. So, unbelievable. Fun morning ahead. Our last here until Florida Derby time. But T. Pletch, Todd Pletcher. He thinks he was slipping me a Mickey. He said, "Can I come on early tomorrow?" He said, you know, "Yesterday, he sent me last night, late afternoon." He said, "I got tied up yesterday. How about tomorrow?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "I can do early." So we bounced a couple of times off of him, and he came back with, "How's 9:45?" See, because he thinks that if I call him at 9:45, that he'll be off at 10. So he's sort of carving out, you know, he's carving out his own segment. but this is the now I feel like who was it? Bob Edwards. No, what was Edwards? What was his name? That This Is Your Life. Was it also Bob Edwards? What was the guy's name that did that? Got a right. This Is Your Life. We've got a surprise for Todd. I mean, I could start calling. I could probably start calling at about 9:40. See if we can get like five. And suddenly it's a 20. You know, suddenly it's a 28-minute segment. He doesn't. You know. Although he may. You know, the one problem you got with these trainers, they got a stopwatch, so they can put the watch on me. Todd Pletcher joins us this morning, and I don't know, he only won 9 races, it seems. I was pulling in the charts. Major Dude the Philly. I was really taken with the Philly, I got to tell you, that Cairo Consort, gorgeous. Then Emmanuel over at Tampa Bay, and Emmanuel set a course record, and they've run quite a few races on the turf there at mile 16. Yeah, 139-1, which translated to a 98 buyer for Emmanuel. And this, you know, both of those wins, Emmanuel's win in the Tampa Bay and surprisingly's win for Shug, which was absolutely thrilling. But this was a big win for Emmanuel. And here's a horse that had been away since the Saratoga Derby and, you know, had won the Pennine Ridge. What's most interesting about Emmanuel's win is that he's like a different horse stylistically, it seems. And so we'll ask Todd about it. It's the first time. It's his fourth career win in 7 starts. This is a More Than Ready Windstar in Siena, $350,000 Keeneland yearling, bred by Mrs. Groves. And out of a heart-spun mare, Hardcloth, and Javier Castellano over there to ride. But this is the first time he's won a race where he didn't have the lead at every call. Yeah. broke his maiden, actually, and who was the other? Who was that other? Who was the other turf 3 year old last year that started on the dirt and then? You got him more than ready. You figure at some point you're going to get some dirt in, but turf in, but broke his maiden here as a 2 year old in December of 21 on the dirt going a mile, and then won at Tampa going a mile 40. Tried the Fountain of Youth and the Bluegrass, fourth and third, and very respectable. But then came the turf debut in the Pennine Ridge, and his fate was sealed. And, of course, things went awry in that Saratoga Derby, and he's been off since, and he comes back clearly a serious four-year-old for 2023. Make no mistake. The computer's so great. You say anything close to Siri or Sirius, and we are on Sirius XM, and that the stupid thing pops up, Siri. One storyline, I know Andy, in fact, Andy Serling later, John White today, Boyd Browning's going to join us in about 10 minutes. As the last of the bloodstock sales start today, 2 days, Newton Paddock. Andy made the point about Charge It. And obviously we'll talk Charge It with Todd, because that was an impressive comebacker for him. Another horse, four-year-old that had been away. And let's also fold in Newgrange from last week that we talked about with Phil D'Amato. The point being, it's four-year-old comeback season. very much so. And, the reports of the demise of the handicap division and the older horse division seem premature. There's tons of these horses. They just literally hold your horses, but not you jocks, not you guys, because put you in front of the stewards and it's a whole complete type of situation. So we got tons to talk about with Todd. And, oh, by the way, we also I also told him we got to recap his Eclipse haul. Not only his Eclipse haul, how about the fact that he won an Eclipse? Yeah, so T.A. Pletcher. And the A does not stand for Aaron, as we've established. Do you remember, was that last year when we asked them that question? And somebody, who was it? Somebody came up with the answer. They sent me that they found it in a biography story. His middle name is for a friend of his dad's, from an early partner of his dad's. Which is cool. So the other part of the Charge It story is also Mandy Pope's other winner from the weekend, of course, which was Tappet Trice. So plenty to do with Todd Pletcher. He also had, there was also a Tapita winner that he had for Niall Brennan. And there was also the week before there was a maiden, a Rapoli Viola. You know what I forgot to do? I completely whiffed on one thing this past weekend. I guess you could have done it. The NHL All-Star Game was down here in Sunrise at the, whatever it's called, whatever that, what's that arena called, Case? the Sawgrass Outlet Center, whatever the hell it is. I'm going to tell Todd. I could have put the right. We could have reached out and maybe, right? I'm sure some people from around here, the hockey fan base, huge. From the racetrack community. So, all right. I'm in the weeds. Didn't take long. Tuesday's a funny day because you sort of have the big post weekend, buzz and you're on and then I had to buy, there's nothing worse on a long trip than packing up. And it's one thing to pack up, to come home, to fly home to, to New York. Another thing to pack up and now go to Tampa. So tomorrow, Thursday and Friday from Tampa. And Sid will join me tomorrow in studio and in the little press room that they provide us. Marty will be there. In fact, Marty's going over today, too. I think he's drawing. But did he say he'd be there? I think he said he'd be there Tuesday. They'll draw tomorrow. And in fact, on that topic, I can give you a snapshot, courtesy of Martin McGee. Right now, 7 in seemingly intended for the Sam F. Davis. The Remsen winner, WNL, for Danny Gargan, who had to bring him over Saturday to Palm Beach Downs to work with the situation not yet at that point resolved at Palm Meadows. Todd's got 1. We'll ask him about Litigate. Litigate intended. Classic Legacy for Bruce Lunsford and Bill Mott. This is the art collector sibling. Champion's Dream and Classic Car Wash, who had been in that allowance race. Marcassi had been in that allowance race that Tappa Trice won and scratched. So now you know the spot and Champion's Dream. That Dreaming of Kona that we talked about for the Spites. And John Terranova has got Nota. N-O-T-A-H. Nota. I got to go look up a little bit. That one, a little new. So right now, it looks like a field of 7, unless we get some other candidates jumping in. And on the undercard, or the co-feature, really, everybody, one thing that people said about the Pegasus car, there were no stars. Well, you do have the 2-year-old Philly champion making her return. Wonder Wheel comes back in the Suncoast. And Julia Shining, the Malathat's full sister. Uh-huh. Yeah. And this, of course, this is an Oaks prep race, and in fact, a race that would lock up Oaks qualification, 20 points to the winner. So, Julia Shining is perfect, and Wonder Wheel a champ. So, she's been training up at Ocala at the Cassie Farm Center. So, it's going to be fun. I mentioned, I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you might have heard, I can't stay for Saturday, sadly. I had to get out on Friday. Because I turn around and go next Tuesday, a week from today, to New Orleans for Risen Star Week. So we'll be in NOLA for 5 broadcast days, and then on to Oaklawn, then on to California for Big Cap Day, and then back to New Orleans for HBPA, and wrap it up at NHC in Vegas. That's the mid-February to mid-March excursion. So, and tickets are not being sold through Ticketmaster. I'm with Taylor Swift or whoever's boycotting. I'm not selling tickets. We got to talk about Delta. I want to get those Delta results in. And in fact, you know what? There's a call that I should we should get Jake Delhomme back on. NFL Network, you know, they're showing they show all the Super Bowl highlights, you know, for like 2 days, 2.5, 3 days. And I had forgotten how good that game was. Carolina, right? Boy, oh boy, and did he play great. Unbelievable. So, because we have to start, I haven't been bludgeoning everybody with Fly Eagles Fly. Just wait. I've said this to a few people who've asked. Oh, you must be excited. I'm excited. But I'm very placid about it. It's not like 5 years ago. And of course, over the weekend, that's one of the great benefits of the social media reminder system. You know, on this date 5 years ago, yeah, the Eagles win. I'm very placid and confident, but you know, 5 years ago we were playing music and we were you know, we had the big build up and we're doing Rocky cuts and what are we waiting for? Come on, Mick. All right. Pull it together. People love when I'm in this mood. It's sort of punchy, you know, wackadoo mood. We got to get Boyd Browning in here before it gets too late. And our first Boyd Browning visit of the year, the first of several. At the same time, it's the end of the Bloodstock distribution sale season. Boyd, good morning.
Everybody's ready. It's a beautiful day in Kentucky. It's going to be almost 60 degrees today. We're living a charmed life with regard to the weather. So, yeah, we're fired up, ready to go. Wrap up the mixed sales today.
Well, you're leaving a charmed life today. I got a few texts from people the other day when it was 14 degrees or whatever, and they were not so happy.
That's the one thing you can count on in Kentucky. If you don't like the weather today, just wait 24 hours. It'll be different.
I think everybody in the eastern half of the country was miserable for a couple of days, but that's great. So it's spring-like for the sale. 2 days of horse sale, and boy, you really do have a kind of a nice array for people that are making last broodmare and broodmare prospect selections. And of course, we're getting very established already on the short yearling market and getting a feel for that. Talk about the stock on the grounds and also the buying bench.
Well, I think, we've got, as you said, a wide variety of horses available for people to shop. We've got short yearlings. We've got some quality mares in foal. We've got some fillies and mares coming off the racetrack. We've got some racing prospects, colts and geldings that sure look like they've got some promise. So literally there's something here for whatever your need is and whatever your desires are in the thoroughbred world today. So there's a wide variety, and really a wide variety of quality and price ranges. And we'll sell horses today for, you know, $1,500, $2,000 to hopefully several hundred thousand dollars. And there really is something here for everybody. And well, I think, you know, we saw it started yesterday in the first day of the market. I think it was indicative and consistent with what we've seen throughout most of 2022, a fairly stable market, fairly consistent, no real dramatic surprises, lots of activity on the grounds, and people are certainly still trending and very desirous what they believe are the quality offerings. And, you know, I think it's indicative of the racing world that we're living in, with purses being, you know, very, very, very good and at a lot of racetracks and there's been no better time in the world from a financial standpoint than today to own a racehorse, and you've got a real legitimate chance of you know, earning significant money at the racetrack.
Well, and you talked about six-figure sellers, money spent, $340,000 yesterday, and we're kind of watching that one because Brian DiDonato, I think you know that group they were kind of expecting and hoping that you know that this was going to fetch a nice number and did.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely, and you know, once again, it was a quality horse. I mean, you know, she was a runner herself. She's in foal to Justify, who's you know off to obviously a great start, with his first crop being just turned 3 year olds. She sold a yearling at Saratoga for $425,000, so it was a very very attractive offering, and it was a fair price. I didn't think it was like, you know, crazy. You're not saying, oh my God, I can't believe she brought that. I thought it was good commerce for both the buyer and the seller. And I think that's kind of where we are with a balanced marketplace, which is, you know, sustainable and should be, you know, fairly predictable and moving forward.
This is a question I could probably ask Sid Fernando tomorrow, Boyd, but, you know, in terms of late, I mean, at this point, considering that Stallion Barns open next week, you know, the sort of late acquisition of broodmares is sort of an interesting thing to watch.
The shed opens basically. We're going to look, you know, somewhere between the 10th and the 15th, depending upon the farm. You know, I do believe that there's still some, you know, very, very, very attractive breeding opportunities out there. You know, several stallions are full, but several really high quality stallions you can probably get in and breed to. And, you know, I certainly don't have anywhere near the level of Sid, who's, you know, a genius and literally a genius when it comes to the breeding aspect and the mating aspect. But there's, I think, lots of opportunities on some of the horses that we have to offer today that it wouldn't surprise you to look up, you know, down the road 4 or 5 years and say, hey, you know, she had all the credentials when she was offered it at that sale in February to become a significant producer, and she fulfilled that niche. So it's an exciting time of the year with the new stallions coming on board. It's an exciting time of the year because I think, you know, we're now really beginning to get into the 3-year-old, the Derby and the Oaks Trail, and hope springs eternal as we're beginning to produce new foals and foals are being born, and just it's really a great time of the year.
Well, the you know, watching and seeing some of the names, I see the Highland Brats interested and active on a lot of fronts. Both the broodmares and also baby as well. You know, the one result page I have not thumbed through yet is the runners, the horses, the active runners that you had. Those you had a number of supplements to the catalog,
right? And also sell today. A lot of those supplements, basically, they just get added to the back end of the catalog. So we'll have you know, lots of activity today and some really interesting horses with current form. So it's the, you know, today's always a fun day, and supplements and the addendums sure add an element of excitement and interest to the sale, and that's something that, you know, we've done for a while and we'll continue to do because it's, you know, opportunities kind of emerge throughout the calendar, and that's the other thing is that, you know, once this is our last quote-unquote mixed sale of the year with a live sale, but we'll certainly be utilizing our digital platform going forward, and something that we started in 2022 and are very pleased with the results and the success that it's achieved. And you know, there will be other opportunities for both buyers and sellers alike as we go through the next few months with horses that might get retired off the track, or you get a mare in foal when you get a nice update. We'll have a platform for that, and it's been it's really created a lot of interest, but most importantly, liquidity. There's a right time and a right place to sell a horse, and now you can do that 365 days a year with our digital platform.
On that topic too, Boyd, I'm coming to you today from Gulfstream. I've been down here a couple of weeks, and talk about the decision to hiatus, I guess, for now. Is hiatus the right word of the Florida sale?
Well, honestly, it was a stay-away situation this year because of some issues and requirements that Gulfstream had. We would love to have been back with the 2023 edition of our 2-year-old in training sale, and they just couldn't physically work with some of the limitations they had on facilities this year. I hope that we'll have an opportunity to return. I think that the proof's been in the pudding. If you look at over the we've been selling horses 2-year-olds in South Florida for 50 years, but particularly when you look and see the success that the graduates of the Gulfstream sale have enjoyed, it's been phenomenal, both in terms of some of the top names, but also in terms of the percentage of top horses that came out of that sale. So, we're disappointed that we weren't able to work together this year, but we'll certainly put our heads together and see if we can come up with an alternative moving forward in 2024 and beyond. But that being said, we're focusing. We look at it not the glass half full or half empty. So we're not going to be able to have a Gulfstream sale this year. So we're making every effort, and we're concentrating, 100% of our 2-year-old and training efforts on our May sale at Timonium, and are really, really excited about that. And lots of quality horses come out of that sale. And the one advantage that we believe we have in the 2-year-old marketplace is that whether it's at Timonium or whether it's at Gulfstream, the horses are working on a dirt racetrack, and I think it's certainly, gives buyers a much better perspective to evaluate the racing prospects of seeing the horses train and breeze on a dirt racetrack as compared to a synthetic surface.
Is there potential for the digital platform to somehow, has that been considered a way to, between all the video opportunity these days? People could just as easily watch and inspect, and is that a viable concept?
Well, I think, Steve, yes, but I don't think we're quite there yet for the most part. Things are changing rapidly. People are getting more and more comfortable buying horses off of videos and buying horses. You can show horses on the internet, get high quality. I think what we've seen thus far is that the real, real interest, the horses that are most apt to be really well sold on the digital platform are fillies or mares that are kind of coming off the racetrack that need to be bred, mares in foal, or live race horses where you've got current form, and those horses can be evaluated based on form. The confirmation of not that it's not important, but a 4-year-old gelding, for the most part, the confirmation exam is not as detailed as it is on a yearling. You're really not as concerned about the confirmation as you are the form. Obviously, you want to make sure there's no glaring physical issues, and all that information is available through the repository in the digital platform. So I think the answer is that it will, yearlings and 2-year-olds will progress, but I don't think it's a major outlet in 2023, but certainly we're going to trend towards more and more and higher levels of comfort with buying horses off of videos and the internet for sure.
Well, the season for the bloodstock and short yearling market and ready-made horses and broodmares, broodmare prospects, broodmares in fall, broodmares waiting to be bred, wraps up today. And Boyd, best of luck to everybody. We'll start to turn our attention toward the 2-year-old season, and it seems with Eclipse Awards in the rearview mirror and Pegasus kind of has become sort of a early season signpost. Now kind of the prime first half of the year action picks up, and that means the Triple Crown Trail as well as 2-year-olds starting to get distributed, and it as I call it, it's the hamster wheel. It doesn't ever stop. The hamster gets in the wheel and just keeps running.
You're exactly right, and it's kind of interesting. First of all, I was at the Eclipse Awards this year. Kudos to the NTRA the whole team, Tom and his team there, because it was a wonderful event. But like we kind of wrap up in my mind 2022, put the bow on it at the Eclipse Awards.
Yeah,
and we kind of kick off 2023. 48 hours later, as you said, we get rolling with the Pegasus, and now we get the 3-year-old prep races, and it's go time. So go time between now and certainly the Breeders' Cup from a racing standpoint. So it's let's get it. Everybody's excited and looking forward to some more great racing in 2023.
Well, and of course, great sales and purchase opportunities. The rest of the season, the March and April and May digital sales, the Mid-Atlantic sale, of course, after Preakness for 2-year-olds, and on and on, the July sale, and then we come around to Saratoga. It all just kind of happens. There's no stopping it, boy.
Exactly. The good news is, Steve, we love action. We got action. So
exactly, right? Is there any deadlines people should be on top of looking ahead for catalog inclusion?
The Mid-Atlantic sale is in the process. We're sorting through entries as we speak. I mean, I would encourage folks to get their entries in the next week or so there. And we'll start looking at yearlings in early March for the for the yearling sale. So as you said, it's nonstop, but you know, our yearly nominations are open. The 2-year-old sale nominations or entries are open. So we've always got something happening.
Boyd Browning, everybody, and Fasig Tipton, FasigTipton.com for everything you need to know and to follow the sales action today. Boyd, I appreciate it. See you soon.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Steve. Love your enthusiasm. I appreciate your you're a great ambassador for our sport, and I appreciate everything you do.
Very kind. Boyd Browning, everybody, and Fasig with the end of the 2-year-old, or not the 2-year-old, but the ready-made horse and ready-made broodmare, your last shot today. I'm glad I asked about the nomination. All that kind of thing is online, and because we've got the two New York bred yearlings, and I think we're I haven't given an update a little bit, but Town 2-year-old that's in training at Country Life and doing well, so was a little too immature and backward to be included in a yearling sale, and so I think I think we've got a 2-year-old ready to hopefully ready for Saratoga. Down the path. Speaking of being ready for Saratoga, Todd Pletcher's always ready for Saratoga, and he'll be next as soon as I kill this mosquito. That sorry, pal. That's it for you. Look at you now. I am in South Florida, right? Tony Montana. There's good news. There's good news. In fact, I brought this up in December in the paddock at Los Al with the one and only longtime coach, Kurt Hoover. The Holy Angels versus the Santa Anita Jockeys. It's back. And I just lost it. Where it was right here in front of me. And now I'm there. It is. Here we go. Mark your calendar. I would love to see this someday. We've only ever seen highlights. Thursday, the 16th. At LaSalle High School. Holy Angels versus the Santa Anita Jocks. And this had been hiatus for a couple of years, pandemic-related. And when I asked Kurt Hoover about it in December, he said, I really don't know if they're bringing it back. But $5 admission and benefits, PDJF. There's T-shirts and all kinds of things. Jockey.givesmart.com for tickets and for T-shirts and for a great way to celebrate the 53rd annual charity basketball game. And there'll be autograph opportunities. Lafitte Penkai Jr., Gary Stevens, KD, Kent DeSormo, Victor Espinoza, Mike Smith, Johnny V, all on hand to sign posters and if you got memorabilia, things, you know, programs and photos and things. So this is great that it's back. Outstanding. And I'll tell you what, now they'll be hard pressed not to have Kent get in short pants and start to throw it up, because nobody, Kent DeSormo, a tremendous, tremendous basketball player, if you've never seen him in action. Yeah, and he's also never met a long-range shot he didn't like. So we'll see. We'll see if KD maybe an honorary captain. I don't know. He could. Yeah, DeSormo could shoot. But I think time has come for the young jocks to take over. Right. All right. So we will push this, and we'll see. I assume that Kurt Hoover is going to coach. John White will be with us in a little bit, and John will we'll get John to see if he's going to participate. Speaking of outstanding basketball players in their prime, John White, Gary Young, those famed cager contests on the grounds at Santa Anita. Let's get to Todd, right? Perfect timing. As soon as I can find him, right? Thanks to Boyd Browning for visiting. All right, here we go. Let's see if it's 42. Let's see if we can't steal 3 minutes on the front end and like five on the back end. And speaking of outstanding schoolboy basketball players, Todd Pletcher joins us. Hold on. Let me see. Why am I not getting you? Oh, there we go. Try it again.
You there?
Yeah. Are you at Palm Beach Downs?
Yes, I am. As you can hear the birds chirping.
Yesterday, yes, Rusty was with us yesterday. It felt like he was in a cage with them.
Right. Yeah, they're quite noisy.
Well, then he told me it's wild parakeets.
I mean, there is an enormous variety of wildlife here. We've seen everything from alligators, parrots, hawks, bald eagles, panthers, turtles. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Is there a manatee in the pond?
There should not be one now. But apparently there's some pretty large fish in there.
Well, I and Rusty let it be known. I only thought there was that one, the one alligator, but he says there's more than one.
Yeah, I've seen as many as three at one time in the infield lake.
Well, it's something else. How long have you been there, by the way, the stabling?
We've been coming here on and off since 2006. And I would say probably the last, it's like 8 years in a row. We really like it here. It's a peaceful setting. Like you said, Rusty Arnold's here, George Weaver's here. We're here. You know, we pretty much have the track to ourselves. And handles the rain really well. We had a good track to work on yesterday after all the rain the day before.
All right, and more importantly, after training, when it's time to go for lunch, do you prefer Ben's or Flakowitz?
I don't usually do much lunch around here, but I tell you, there's increasingly good restaurants in the area. I mean, the the area's really, it's amazing since Palmetto's opened, which I think we were talking about the other day was 2003. Like, I mean, this whole area has just exploded around here.
Big time. Well, speaking of exploding, it's been a fairly explosive fortnight for the Pletcher Barn, and it starts with the Eclipse Awards. Let's get a quick recap of the more or less the Florida Turnpike from your table up to the dais. talk about the champions and winning another Eclipse as Trainer of the Year.
Well, yeah, I mean, winning the trainer was solely because of the three champions, and then Life is Good also a finalist. But you know, really, the trainer award is because of those horses. And, you know, we were fortunate; we had a tremendous year. You know, from beginning to end, starting off with the Pegasus and ending with a couple Breeders' Cups. But you know, to have three individual champions is awesome, and that's really what we were. We didn't feel like there was any drama involved, but, you know, they're still great to have those three crown champions.
Well, and in terms of the gravitas of the champions, when you have the top two-year-old, you got the top three-year-old female and the top older female, you know, two Breeders' Cup winners, and that says a lot. And then you mentioned Life is Good. Counts for something as well. I mean, obviously, if there's no flight line, he's probably, you know, he's older male champ, and who says he's not horse of the year too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a great year winning the Pegasus, and you know, continuing on to win the Whitney and the Woodward. I mean, those are significant races. And you know, we took a shot in the end and tried to go for champion older horse and you know, possibly horse of the year, when you know the conservative move would have been to run in the dirt mile again. But you know, I thought he performed admirably and just got the great reception at stud. Looking forward to seeing what his babies look like.
There it is. Well, three individual champions and Trainer of the Year as well, and well on your way to another outstanding season, Todd. And let's work our way, I guess, backwards and start with this past weekend, because the two turf winners, Major Dude and Cairo Consort, really a tremendous way to start the season for both of them. And I, you know, Cairo Consort, I got to tell you, she is breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah, she's a gorgeous filly, and honestly, at the start, I gave her no chance to win. I was, you know, I not that she just get away poorly, but I mean, she spotted the field five or six lengths. So I thought Irad, you know, rode her so intelligently by, you know, a lot of times the first reaction from the jockey in that situation is try to make up those five lengths quickly, but. You know, he just waited back, biding his time. He got a good seam in the at the 5/16 pole, and he was able to continue to stay around. But I mean, she really kicked the last part. Like I said, I didn't think she could overcome that start.
Well, the key question is, did you need new binoculars on Sunday?
No, they. I did let out with a bit of a curse word at the start, but the binoculars in hand, thankfully.
There we go. She now, obviously, two for two, and you know, in terms of the three-year-old filly turf schedule, you know, all the obvious opportunities, and how far do you think she wants to go? Because I will say this. It's not like there was some huge pace set up. The pace was honest, but it wasn't like they were going breathtakingly fast, and she got the benefit of a meltdown.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the first quarter was solid, but then they kind of slowed it down the second quarter. She kind of crept into position at that point. But you know, the way she settles and gives you hope that, you know, that she'll continue to stretch out. So I hope that she's one that's capable of, you know, going on to the distances of these bigger races in the summer, Belmont and Saratoga.
You know, and we're being unfair to Alpha Bella, who ran a terrific race.
She really did. I thought, you know, I said, wow, this filly's gonna save the day for us, and it looked like she just started to pull away, and all of a sudden, Cairo Consort built up a head of steam. It was like, holy cow, I can't believe she's gonna get up.
And regarding, that's a Don Alberto homebred Justify, and you put her on turf to break her maiden. So, you know, here she is in her first stakes opportunity of any kind, and a graded stake at that, graded stake placed. And obviously, you know, we're not getting 16-1 again anytime soon.
No, probably not. I mean, she, you know, that was a good move forward for her off the maiden win. And looks like she's improved with not only getting on the turf, but I think the pointers have made a difference as well. So, you know, I think she's a filly that can continue to get better.
Let's talk about Major Dude, and basically on the identical trajectory and schedule as the filly, had participated in the Dania Beach, and Candidate got the best of him in that spot, basically on the front end for Arnaud Delacour and Mark Grier. What was the thought process and approach in here? Because he won, first of all, he went favored, but he also won in hand.
Yeah, I mean, we needed a little different trip than we got the previous race. You know, he got a good ground-saving trip in the last race, but there was really no pace on, and then he had to wait for room to get in the clear, and by the time he got to make his run, the other horse had got a jump on him. So we just wanted to be aware of that. Irad did a good job of getting him out in the clear and letting him build up his run. And Dude in Colorado fought hard to try to hang on for second, and probably gets a little bit of an assist because he kept the pace on us as well.
Well, same thing for him. Kind of the
we're gonna give Major Dude another shot on the dirt at some point in one of these prep races. I'll get with the Spendthrift guys and we'll come up with a plan. He's a horse that, you know, he broke his maiden on the dirt. He was third in the Sapling. He seems to have made a move forward on the turf, but, you know, he's also a more mature, stronger colt now than he was the last time he was on the dirt. So at some point we'll probably step out. We just got to decide which spot it's going to be in.
He is a Bolt Oro and, out of a Distorted Humor mare, so Clear Sky,
yeah,
actually.
He's not a horse that's really bred so much for the turf as, you know, we gave him a try on it one morning, and, you know, we could tell he took to it. So, but like I said, I think we all want to give him one more opportunity on the dirt before the Derby season gets underway.
And you know, you mentioned Dude in Colorado, and I had seen in Mike Welch's report that they had worked together. And it's kind of funny that you got two dudes from different owners. It's not like you know, it's not like they were named.
I know.
Coordinated.
I know. It is kind of funny. So yeah, it made perfect sense to put the two dudes together training.
Well, and he did break his maiden in an off the turf race. He's an Uncle Mo out of a street crime mare, and I imagine he gets some more dirt opportunities ahead.
Yeah, that's definitely something you know, that we can consider for both of them. Of course, you got the, you know, the turf way race, which could make sense well. So yeah, we got a couple of directions to possibly go there.
Before we talk about the Mammoth Allowance wins and a couple of maiden wins, I mentioned that Emmanuel's performance has gone not completely underappreciated, but, you know, hasn't gotten the attention it deserves, track record. And I thought what was most notable, Todd, is it's the first time he's won without the lead.
Yeah, and you know, we felt like those were the tactics we needed to employ. There appeared to be plenty of pace in the race. And so, you know, he proved that he doesn't have to be on the lead in order to be successful. And, you know, he came back from a layoff better than ever. And you know, that, like you said, track record performance and all, it was a big race off the bench. So, you know, he's another one that I think he's pretty versatile. I think you could back him up to a mile, or he might even be one that we can stretch out even further. So opportunities down the road for him.
Well, and here's another horse that was adequate on the dirt, a more than ready out of the hard-spun mare. And when you put him on the turf for the Pennine Ridge, he absolutely, you know, was absolutely terrific. The Saratoga Derby, things went awry, and that triggered the six-month layoff.
Exactly, yeah. He was a little worse for the wear after the Saratoga Derby, so sent him to Windstar. They did a great job of getting him back to us in good order. And, you know, he'd been training very, very forwardly into it. And, you know, he's a horse that handles the dirt fine, but I think prefers the grass, and especially a good firm course.
Well, you of course have the more than ready, the benefit of more than ready heritage. You get every clue as to what you're dealing with, and this is a fabulous way for Emmanuel to start the season with a track record. And as I mentioned this morning earlier, they've run quite a few races at a mile and a 16th on the turf at Tampa. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk about some very impressive wins that didn't have, you know, names or numbers, and that included Mandy Pope. And, you know, Todd, one of the really nice things that's happened over the last 18 months, Mandy Pope, who's put a lot of money in, it feels like her approach and her operation is starting to pay real dividends. And Charge It comes back with a very impressive performance, a 102 buyer in the allowance on Sunday, but it was Tappet Trice that just throttled that allowance and probably would have won the Holy Bull had you gone that direction.
Yeah, and we were considering that. You're right about Mandy's operation. Todd Quaston, they're definitely moving forward, and like you said, it's great to see she's a great supporter of the game and deserves plenty of success. But yeah, Tappet Trice, we were sort of on the fence, you know, as whether to go in the allowance race or jump into the Holy Bull. We certainly felt like from an ability standpoint, he was good enough to go in the Holy Bull. But our concern was he's fairly limited in experience. He's not jumped out of the gate real sharply in any of the starts, including the tournaments on Saturday. And so we just felt like that was the correct approach, and to try to continue to develop him. And yeah, that was an impressive race. I think he's only going to improve going two turns, and so you know, we're excited about him. We've been high on it for a long time, so it's nice to see it all come together. And Charge It had been training super up to that. So I thought that was an excellent comeback for him as well.
We got to mention one of the fun sidebars to Tappet Trice. Is this the first young horse that you've had out of a Dunkirk mare?
Yeah, I can't think of too many Dunkirk's offsprings that we've had at all. But, you know, I mean, I can tell you this. Dunkirk was a very, very talented horse, very well-bred horse. So, you know, with Tappet Trice, Dunkirk was second in the Belmont, and this horse being by Tappet, I mean, I think, like I said, when we get this out, he's only going to improve.
And we should also mention that Dunkirk was a goofball and adorable and a sweet horse to be around.
He was, yeah. He could be a little quirky at times, but he was a beautiful yearling. I remember seeing him at the sales there. You know, we're really excited about it. Actually, second to Quality Road, the Florida Derby, and didn't care for the off-track Kentucky Derby day, and almost pulled off the Belmont, but really, really talented horse.
One of those horses that like to stick its tongue out and have you pull on his tongue.
Yep. There's a lot of good horses that way. It's kind of strange.
It's so funny. Give us a feel, because we're going to get to Forte in a second, and maybe now's a good time, because Schisterskin, of course, second here, but beaten eight lengths. Would you think Tappet Trice and him in the fountain, or do you send somebody to Tampa for the Tampa Derby? You got Lidegate, of course, in the Sam Davis on Saturday. Talk about some of this early season decision making where the point races are going to start to ratchet up.
Yeah, we'll just have to play it all by ear. You know, right now Forte's right on schedule. Everything's so far gone according to our plan, and we've got him targeting the Fountain of Youth. Like I said, you know, the great thing about this time of the year is there's pretty much a prep race every weekend somewhere. So, you know, if you happen to get behind schedule a bit, you've got other options. But, you know, it's possible both of them could show up in the Fountain of Youth. Of course, from a selfish standpoint, I'd love to keep them separated. But we'll just have to play it by ear and see. You know, we got a lot of good options.
Well, and especially, you know, you've had lots of success at Tampa, but it is a place where you prefer to have a horse run there that you already know doesn't, you know, has no problem with the surface. Because there's horses that take two jumps and say, what is this? And I'm not running.
Yeah, it can be a quirky surface. And it's you know, I think, too, it's maybe a little bit mislabeled. I think horses tend to do better that attend the pace, you know, at Tampa than come from way out of it. But, you know, it's also been a very good path for us to get to the Derby. So, you know, I think it's a good, safe racetrack, and it helps bring them along.
Well, Tappet Trice, and any thoughts on Schisterskin?
Got to regroup there. I was a little disappointed. I thought he could make a little more of a race of it. You know, the last part, he kind of threw in the towel a bit. I think, you know, if we could do it over again rather than trying to rate him, maybe he'd be better off to go ahead and put him on the lead and, you know, maybe try those tactics like we did the first time. But when you draw an outside post and you get an opportunity to hopefully teach one something, you know, I think that's what IRAD was trying to do. And then, you know, kind of just flattened out the last part.
Well, some of the other recent winners that have to be asked to get a feel for it. What about Bandita? I mean, things are so busy already, Todd, that her performance seems like it's kind of been forgotten about already.
Yeah, I thought she was super impressive. Had been training as though she would go over and run really well in her debut, and then she did. You think she'd improve stretching out. But, you know, the key is if we can hopefully get an allowance race to go and try to develop her that way. But, you know, sometimes those opportunities don't come up. You're forced to jump into a stake. But we'll see how things unfold. But she came out of the race great. She's one we have very high hopes for.
I mean, is the Devona Dale a possibility?
Well, I mean, I think if we get handcuffed, it might have to be.
All right. Well, and of course, Rusty's filly will be waiting. And because that was an impressive part of this past Saturday. I want to ask you about a trio of turf type horses, including Up to the Mark, who kind of jumped up, like the devil and wins that allowance on the Pegasus undercard, gets a low 90s buyer, and then also King's Fortune on a Tapita off the turf event, and even Santorini, I want to little read on.
Yeah, I mean, Santorini and King's Fortune, very impressive, and that was the first time for us. Santorini first start on the grass, and well, and King's Fortune, we were looking at that Fastnet Rock mare and decided, you know, we put him on the turf first time. He's a beautiful colt and been training well, and when it came off, you know, we were speculating that he would handle it. Just seemed to never know on the synthetic, but he took to it really, really, really nicely. And so we were pretty happy with that. Up to the Mark, you know, is a horse that we felt like was underachieving a little bit on the dirt. He kind of teased us early on. He won his debut. Maybe in retrospect on that sealed track, you know, he kind of handled that better than he did some subsequent dirt starts. But I thought he was super impressive. I mean, showed a real turn of foot and drew off from, you know, fairly competitive allowance field.
Well, ringing them up on both surfaces and really at all levels. We should also include a winner very quietly from Sunday. Had to be pleased that Bourbonic got his picture taken.
Yeah, it was great to see him back in the winner's circle. You know, I thought he'd run sneaky good, you know, in his couple comeback races, but that was definitely his best effort since the Wood Memorial, and, you know, it looks like he's getting back on track now.
Well, what, I mean, you're going to kind of go slow again, or you know?
I think the stymie comes back. It comes back a little bit quicker than I'd like. I think it's on the 25th, so it'll be back in like 20 days, but I think we've got to consider it just because of his affinity for Aqueduct.
Very cool. And I should also include in some of the recapping that thrilling finish in the Endeavor, because Scottish Star was victimized by Shug's filly by surprisingly, but there could be another stake winner we're talking about, the Argentinian filly.
Yeah, she ran huge, and thought she was going to get there and just got nailed late. But it was definitely a good effort. She seemed to like the course there, so we're pleased with that effort.
Excellent. The looking ahead quickly, Litigate, you're set for the Sam Davis?
Yes. Yeah, we're planning on going there. We enter tomorrow and hopefully improves a little bit going two turns and hopefully takes to the surface over there.
There we go. And the lightning round, the maidens this week out of the Pletcher camp. How about up at Aqueduct? Let's go up for Thursday. Miracle Mike. This is a golden sense, making a third start for our friend Brian DiDonato and his partners at Franklin Avenue.
Yeah, he's a colt that, you know, he ran pretty well in his debut, and then we had to give him a little time off after his second start. But he's been training well and looking forward to getting him back going.
Excellent. And then back around, let's come down to Gulfstream for the weekend and Delegated.
Yeah, first time out in a while, and this is probably a little too short for him. I think ultimately he's going to want a little more ground than the 6 furlongs, but I think we've got a pretty nice colt in the mile race, so we didn't want to run them against each other. And so, yeah, we're interested to see especially Dreamlike making his debut. Wow. Gunrunner colt that's been training.
Was the next question. Dreamlike, Edgar Zayas just recently hit his 2000th. Win, and Dreamlike, what do we know? This is, you mentioned Gunrunner. This is one of the Viola Rapoli yearlings from last year.
Yeah, beautiful colt, one absolute stunning looking colt, and you know, he's a little immature this summer, and we gave him a break, and he's come back, and he's trained like a really nice colt. You know, it's difficult to win first time out going a mile, but I think his last couple of works indicate that, you know, he should run well.
Well, and we should note as well that this was a Ron Winchell bred that has the classic Winchell thoroughbred stamp on it. Gunrunner out of a Tappan mare.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a successful cross, and hopefully he continues that.
Well, this one fetched just under $1 million as a yearling, and gonna grab a couple of others here. You've got looking ahead to Sunday, Wardea, War Princess, Legendary, Seduction, and Shade, all looking to break maidens.
Yes, yeah, you know, kind of a variety of talents there. Seduction, I thought, was put forth a good effort in her debut to filly that came back to win the, I believe it was the 10th in the next start, so that form held up pretty well. And Shade, another one that we're debuting at a mile that I think will probably improve for having a race and ultimately want more ground. And Wardea is 4-year-old unstarted, you know, that it's taken a while to get here. And War Princess, I thought, ran a solid third last time, and hopefully can make a move forward off that. So, you know, some live chances.
Outstanding. I would go on, but I've already managed to eke out 25 minutes. Todd, thank you so much. Congratulations. Great start to the year. And, of course, a great way to the recognition from 2022 as well last Thursday at the Breakers.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
outstanding. Todd Pletcher and Pletcher Racing, of course. And that's gonna cost me because now his next, I don't know, his next three visits, they'll be at 11, they'll be at 11:50. he'll carve out 7-minute visits for the next three times. No, thanks to Todd, he's a great sport. For the longest time, I'm obviously doing this for the time that we've been doing it. Yeah, there's certain little goals for you have for yourself, and I think one of the early first goals was getting Todd to laugh, and that was early, and then also Jerry Hollendorfer, getting Jerry, and Mike Maker, that's the holy trinity of making merry with straight-laced guests. The binocular reference, for those that didn't make the connection, famously, of course, when Ragston Riches went to her nose in the Belmont. Todd. He dropped his binoculars with force. So whenever there's a bad start winner, I always get it. That's my go-to. We're gonna go to John White next. John, we kind of paved over John yesterday because of that conversation with Doc McClellan, and if I go down this path, I had toyed with asking Todd about training his staff. I mean, and it's a topic that would be, I think it'd be valuable to have, you know, the Q&A on that front with some big outfit training. But for those of you that listened this morning, for instance, this past hour, from basically, 8:15, 8:10 to 9 o'clock this morning on the replay, I thought we'd spend like 15 minutes, but then it became obvious how important the discussion was. And without recrimination, I'm sorry, but how is the industry, the entire force of the organs that express interest and concern for the game's well-being, how are they not all in supporting the Groom Elite program? Helping Doc train more horsemen to then go out and, you know, evangelize with this program. We say we want to have, you know, the highest level of care and maintenance and safety and welfare. Well, then let's do everything we can to have the staff that attends to them 18 hours a day as well-trained and as knowledgeable and in touch as possible. The industry's got to get behind this program. Unbelievable. Back after this, John White.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. 200